Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Pastor Tim Karskatten here, Christian Center Shreveport, doing our daily podcast. And you know what day it is. It's our Supernatural Friday as we share supernatural testimonies from around the earth of people who have encounters with the supernatural God that transformed their life. Today we share Sid Roth's story of his supernatural encounter that brought him to salvation. All right. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.
Amen. Welcome. I'm glad you're with us today here on our Shabbat Shalom Supernatural Friday podcast. It's Friday. It's the 28th day of July 2023. This month is almost gone. It has been wild. It's been exciting. We've been praying through this dire straits season. So many things have happened. We trust the Lord that He is a provider, keeping us and protecting us, covering us in the shadow of His wings. And I pray that you have experienced that this entire season. I pray again also that you enjoyed our podcast, our daily ones. Thank you, thank you, thank you, as always, for following, subscribing to our channels, and then giving us good reviews. There's so many aspects to a podcast that make it a good podcast for listeners. And we try to get the best content we can to you guys, sharing the prophetic revelation, as well as testimonies like today, and just to encourage you, help you have the tools to navigate through this season that we're in, the stormy season that we're in. We are in a season of war. We're in a season of storms, and yet God has been faithful, and we are believing for that coming harvest. Well, God bless you. Well, today I found a testimony of somebody that I've been following for I don't know how many years. I believe I started listening to him back in the 80s. I believe that for sure, back in the 80s. And Sid Roth, Supernatural Ministries, has just been a pioneer of sharing testimonies of the supernatural and driving people and to a place where they seek God more, that there was more to the Lord. And for me, as I was coming into the charismatic movement, spirit-filled movement, hungry movement. He was a revivalist too. He's an evangelist, Sid was, and still is. He's still alive. He's in his 80s, but God is just really blessing him. But to me, there are certain people in your life that are mentors that you never meet or don't get to talk to. I met him one time in, I think it was South Carolina, and somebody asked me to pray over him and his wife, and I did. I felt totally out of place considering all the generals that he's interviewed or been with and have prayed over him. But, you know, I was asked to do it, and I did. I prayed over him. He'll never remember me, probably. But that's not relevant. The point is that he has been a pioneer and helped all of us who hunger for the supernatural. And I found a testimony of his journey of salvation, the supernatural journey, that he came out of Judaism, took a path, an unhealthy path in his own life, just trying to find truth and finding out that there was more in the Lord than what he was taught through Judaism. And then he did find his Messiah, Yeshua, and gave his life, and the rest is history. You know, we're talking, I don't know how many years. If I was listening to him in the 80s, I'm not sure when he started, but he's been out there a long time being a pioneer, equipping the body of Christ for the supernatural. I used to buy materials from him, and many of you may have as well. So enjoy his salvation supernatural testimony, and then we're going to pray for you and those that you're believing for, but especially that you would have supernatural encounters and that you would recognize that there's more in the Lord. All right, let's listen to Sid's testimony.
I was raised in a Jewish home. We went to an Orthodox synagogue. I remember as a young kid, my parents were into athletics. Their particular sport was poker. And they were out late at night, and I was home alone. And I remember, like a little kid would do, I would say over and over again, I wish they'd come home, I wish they'd come home. And one night when I was saying, I wish they'd come home, a thought popped in my mind. What happens when you die? And in Judaism, we don't talk about death. It's a l'chaim, to life. I'd never even pondered that thought. The only conclusion I could come up with is you cease to exist. But it was such an objectionable thought that I blocked it from my mind for many, many years. So I blinked my eyes a few times and graduated college, and I wrote a song called There Must Be Something More. And I remember the words, they went like this. Because I work, eat, sleep, and that's the way it goes. Because I work, eat, sleep, and that's the way it goes. There must be something more. But I didn't know what that something more was. And I blinked my eyes a few times, and I was married, and I blinked my eyes a few times, and I had a daughter, and I blinked my eyes a few times, and I had a wonderful career job with Merrill Lynch. My goal in life was to become a millionaire before 30, and now I'm 29. I wasn't happy. There must be something more. So I did something I'm not proud of. I left my wife, I left my daughter, I left my job, and I went searching for happiness. But do you know it's a big world out there if you don't know what you're searching for? At the end of a year, things were worse. I took a course, a mind expansion course, where they promised me by the end of the 1 week course, I would know things that I never programmed in my brain. And it worked, and I was so excited. I would just think a thought, and it would happen like this. I would say, I'd like to go into business for myself, counselor. And a man that I just knew casually came into my office and said, Sid, if you ever want to go into business for yourself, we have extra space. We'll let you use our secretary free, our telephones, our offices free. I thought, wow, this power is terrific. But this businessman turned out to be a born-again Christian. And he invited me to a Bible study. He looked at me and said, Sid, do you realize what you're doing is an abomination to God? I said, oh, come on. He said, look, in your own Bible, turn to Deuteronomy 18, and it said you go to fortune tellers and seances and witches and stuff like that, and lists all these things that I'm doing. But it was an abomination. And this kind of scared me. So I decided I'd put it on hold for a minute, maybe read this Bible. And even though I had a good Orthodox background, I didn't know the Torah. And at that time, I went into a bookstore and I went into the New Age section. And there's a book called The Jew, The Bible, and the Supernatural. I'm Jewish. I'm looking at the Bible now and I'm into the supernatural. Perfect. I read the book and it says it's an abomination for anyone to be involved in the occult or New Age. But for a Jew, it's worse. It listed famous Jewish people that dabbled in the New Age like I was doing and lost their life. And the one that really hit me was Brian Epstein. He was the Jewish manager of a group called the Beatles. They went to the Himalayas, Brian went with them, and at that time only one died, the Jew, Brian Epstein. We had everything I was looking for, fame, money, everything he wanted, but he's dead. This really scared me. About that time, I became convinced I had something evil inside of me, and I wanted it out. I reached my point, my absolute limit. Life was too hard. I gave up. Death looked better than life. And so one night, I didn't want to live anymore, but I prayed a two-word prayer from a broken heart. Jesus, help. And when I woke up in the morning, I was shocked I was alive. But more than alive, there was something in my room. The whole atmosphere was alive with the love of God. I'd never experienced anything like this before. And I knew that that evil inside of me, it was gone. And I knew it had to do with that prayer, Jesus. And then I heard the audible voice of God for the first time in my life. And you know what he said to me? He said, I hate divorce. Return to your wife and daughter. And God restored my marriage, gave me back my daughter. And my wife and I have now celebrated our 51st wedding anniversary. I know that when I make a mistake, he not only will give me the power to overcome, but he'll wash it away. And there's nothing disturbing this intimacy, this love of God. When you know God, you have everything. When you just know about him, you have nothing. What do you have?
Wow, that's a great question, isn't it? And a truth that you can't deny. When you have the Lord, you have everything. When you don't have him, you don't have anything. And that's true. I always tell people in my spheres of relationships that are not born again that if somebody's on a path for truth, I have the assurance that there's only one answer, because Jesus said he was the way, the truth, and life. Nobody can come to God but by him. So I'm not always discouraged when somebody's on a path for truth. I get discouraged maybe a little bit if they get stuck, but is a place that they're trying to find truth, and Jesus is that truth. In Ephesians chapter 4, clearly tells us that salvation comes, you know, not by our works, but not only does he give us salvation, but then he goes to the next level and equips us for life. Equips us with what we're called to do and purpose in our destiny. He has good works prepared for us. He does so much for us, and we got to remember that. We sometimes get in the grind of trying to make things happen and recognizing that he has already made them happen. I was reading in Deuteronomy where the Lord would commission them to go and to take territory. And before they go, he would say, I've given, and he named the enemy, whatever group of people it was. He said, I've given them into your hand. Now, how about that? That when God commissions you to take territory in your life, there are enemies out there waiting, but the Lord says, I've already given them into your hand before you even go out there. Your responsibility is to go. I'm not saying there's not going to be warfare, but there is a obedience act that we have to do. Well, the more that Sid there talks about, I think is something that you need to recognize. In the revival, the Pensacola revival that I was blessed to be any part of, but to go to and attend and work through some things there. The main thing that they always prayed for us was, Lord, give them more. I mean, Steve Hill, the evangelist, would just walk up to you, put his hands on you, say, more, Lord. And that sounds like, well, come on, give me a better prayer than that. But what it was doing was activating something in us that we needed. Michael Brown would pray. I got prayed for him by him many times. I don't know many times, quite a few times when I was there. I don't know him. I've emailed him and talked to him that way, but I don't know him. He wouldn't know me. But he would do that. He'd lay hands. I remember one time I was crowded. It was, you know, there's 2,000 plus people there, and everybody just goes to the altar, and these prayer people just walk around, and you don't stand anywhere special. They just move. And they just come through the crowd and lay hands. And Michael Brown was there, and he's Jewish. And I loved his teaching. I'd bought his books. I thought, man, I'd love to get prayer by him. And the crowd, the press was just too big. I couldn't get near him. And so I said, oh, well, Lord, you know who I need prayer from. And I just closed my eyes. And all of a sudden, I felt this fire on top of my head. Somebody put my eyes closed. And I felt this fire on my head and impartation going in me. And I heard those words, give him more, Lord. And it sounded like Michael. So I opened my eyes, and he's a big gentleman, probably, I don't know, 6'5" or so. And he had reached over the crowd of people and didn't lay hands on them, but lay hands on me. And that was just God kissing me with the desires of my heart. I'd sought him, delighted myself in him. And I, from that day forward, began to have a birth for the Jewish people in a greater way, but also for revival and for holiness and purity. And that's what's more in the Lord. And supernaturally, you can have it too. So I want to pray over you today. Father, in the name of Jesus, of Yeshua, a God who gives us salvation. Lord, you gave us salvation, but you also equipped us for life, to be successful and to prosper what we put our hands to. I pray for everybody that's listening today on this Supernatural Friday that they would be blessed, blessed, blessed beyond anything that they could ever think or imagine. Bless them, Lord, in the name of Jesus, with more of you in the name of Yeshua. Amen. All right, come back next week. We love you guys. Thanks for listening. Well, thanks again for listening each and every day, especially on these Shabbat Shalom Supernatural Friday podcasts. We search the internet as best we can, or we hear about somebody who had a supernatural story and we find it. Thank you again for sowing. Some of you are sowing regularly to our ministry, and I can't thank you enough. If you'd like to do that, you can go to our website, ChristianCentersReport.com, or our app. There's a give button there. And we are blessed by that. That continues, helps us to continue to do what we're doing here today to bless others and to help them walk through this season in their life. So go there, find that, and bless us, and we'll bless you back with our prayers. God bless you. Have a good weekend. See you Monday.